Hi, everyone, and welcome to CDH Conversations. Today, we're talking about the Mining Indaba 2024. The Mining Indaba is in full swing in Cape Town, and it celebrates a milestone 30 years as a premium destination for deal-making and discussions on critical issues facing the African mining industry. The theme of this year's Indaba is Embracing the Power of Positive Disruption, a Bold New Future for African Mining, where there will be a robust conversation or conversations focused on the change and disruption needed to move the African mining industry forward. We all know that mining is critical for industrialization, in particular for Africa, where a significant amount of critical minerals are found. In the era of a just energy transition, where critical minerals are required by the world to get us to a low carbon economy, Africa should not and must not miss out on the opportunity to be represented. So, in light of this little introduction, I welcome Jacquel Ferris, a partner in our firm CDH, to discuss this important topic with me. Jacquel, welcome.
Thank you, Njerin. Thank you for having me to have this very important discussion on the future of African mining and also touching on what's happening currently at the Mining Indaba around the positive disruptors in African mining.
So I just want to start off, first of all, to ask you, Jacquel, what personal interest do you have in this area? Why are you so interested in it?
Personally, I've done a lot of work in the mining sector for various large multinationals in South Africa and various other African jurisdictions. And that's complemented also with the work that I do in the energy space and at CDH. So I'm a partner, as you mentioned, and I'm also the sector head for our new industrials, manufacturing and trade sector. And that's what we're talking about today and what's the debate and discussions will be had at the Mining Indaba is critical for what the industrialization of Africa will look like, because Africa, as you mentioned, cannot be left behind. And we want to unpack that legal and policy perspective and our experience.
So I think it's the bridging of our experience together with our interest in making sure that we are at the forefront of demonstrating how industrialization can really make sure that Africa is represented. So in light of this, what are the so-called key positive disruptors in African mining that should be embraced? What are we thinking? What are the thought leaders telling us?
So when we look at, say, for the past 2 to 3 years, and in particular post-COVID, what has become important, so there's the discussion around the just energy transition, and mining plays a very important role in that. And if you look at Africa, Africa is endowed with significant amount of what we generically call critical or critical minerals. Now, from a disruptive perspective, what should Africa embrace? The first thing is technology and AI. So when we talk about technology in the context of mining, it is using technology where we can actually be more efficient, or mining companies can be more efficient in mining or mitigating environmental impact, looking at how processes can be utilized from an AI perspective to deal with various efficiency processes within the mining operation. And this then obviously also assists the mining companies and the government and the communities within which these mining operations operate to comply with what we call ESG requirements, so sustainable mining practices, which is important for both the mining company and the communities and the country within which the mining company operates, and ultimately contributes to what we call the green economy, because you can't say that you're mining sustainably if you're actually not complying with the fundamental principles around sustainable mining. The other important factor, again, technology and AI, is health and safety. How do you utilize technology from a health and safety perspective? Because over the past few years, we've seen significant increases also in mining incidents. And we have colleagues in CDH who specialize in mining health and safety issues. And the big theme is how can we utilize also technology to ensure that we ultimately mitigate the risk of these type of incidents happening, because it means downtime for the mining company. It means loss in revenue. It means loss in taxes also for the government. Now, the other important discussion when we talk about disruption, we spoke about critical minerals. So critical minerals are key for the just energy transition. And when we talk about those type of critical minerals, what do we actually mean for our audience benefit? So we talk about lithium, we talk about graphite, we talk about cobalt, predominantly found in the DRC. We talk about nickel in several African jurisdictions. All of these minerals are critical for the manufacturing of batteries, which we would use in electric vehicles, electrolyzers, for the manufacturing of electrolyzers. So PGMs, platinum group metals, are important. That's again important for the hydrogen economy. So there's several elements when we talk about disruption, looking at technology, looking at the type of minerals, and ultimately how does African businesses, so small mining companies, medium mining companies, governments, and ultimately foreign investors, because we need their money to be able to exploit this, ensure that Africa is at the forefront of being a disruptor and actually contributes significantly to the greening of the global economy.
Thank you so much, Jackwell. And I think that's a really good explanation about the marriage of technology and also then the traditional things that clients have always been interested in, and that is the minerals and, you know, the products that come from the green earth in mining. In terms of what clients want to see then, from a lawyer's perspective, what kind of help or what kind of assistance can we give them? How do we help them become aware of processes, or how do we bring those processes into our work with our clients?
So that's a critical question. So in terms of what we do and have been doing, is it's starting at the fundamentals in terms of, from our investment perspective, is understanding the policy and legal framework within which a particular jurisdiction that you want to invest in operates. And maybe as a starting point, when we talk about Africa and we talk about this new bold future, is you can already see that there is, to a large extent, African jurisdiction for the African Union is starting to sing from the same hymn sheet. When we talk about the African Continental Free Trade Agreement in terms of trade policies around what should be happening on the African continent, when we talk about manufacturing of goods, including the extraction or mining of minerals that adds value and what the benefits for investors would be. And then parallel to that is really talking about, again, linked to the AFCFTA would be the investment protocol, but that creates a uniform framework for investors, foreign investors who set up shop within the DRC, within Tanzania or Kenya, in processing minerals, benefiting through that system and creating a regional value chain. And in another important policy framework and legal framework that we also have been involved and articulated is, you look at the draft African Green Mineral Strategy, which is also being launched this week at the Indaba, which specifically speaks to what we're talking about. How can Africa ultimately tap into the industrialization process in using minerals and the just energy transition? Is there's various policy and legal nuances and frameworks, including looking at from a, whether it's from a finance perspective, whether it's from an investment risk in respect of a specific jurisdiction, how companies then ultimately tap into that. And your question on lawyers, what do we do as a legal firm to ensure that companies, whether foreign investors or intra-African investors, are able to effectively tap into a particular jurisdiction, is assisting them with doing the proper checks and balances in respect of a particular jurisdiction, understanding the specific risk in their jurisdiction, understanding the legislative framework that underpins it, understanding issues around trade restrictions. As you might have known, a number of countries like Namibia, Zambia and Zimbabwe and Ghana has imposed certain restrictions on the export of critical minerals like lithium, because countries are identifying these opportunities where local content and beneficiation is important to drive downstream industries, not just in their country, but also within the regional context. When we talk about SADC, when we talk about East African Community, or when we talk about West Africa. So it's important that investors understand these nuances, speak to attorneys like CDH that understand the different nuances to be able to tap into the mineral sector, but the more broader industrial opportunities that exist on the African continent by utilizing various instruments, whether it's AFCFTA, the investment protocol, and the specific country-specific legislation and incentives that are provided to ultimately be a catalyst for the development of regional value chains by developing a battery industry, electrolyzer manufacturing industry, which assists with the green hydrogen economy, electric mobility economy, not just for Africa, but for the globe.
And then if we wanted to highlight to clients what the particular risks are for them when they're either foreigners and coming into Africa or locals who want to invest in critical minerals within the continent, what are the risks that we should be highlighting to our clients?
I think if you look at the mining sector in particular, what we will call the extractive, whether it's mining or oil and gas, where those sectors are prone to what we would call a risk of expropriation or unfair treatment. So the nature of any mining investment is you put up significant capital in a particular jurisdiction, and then your investment is what we will call captive. So it means you can't really decide tomorrow I'm going to move my mine from Botswana to Zimbabwe because political risk has changed. So for an investor, having regard to that, and I think most multinationals and big mining companies would be cognizant of this, that they need to do a proper risk analysis in respect of a particular jurisdiction, that when you invest in, and I'm just using the DRC as an example, you would ensure that you consult the right lawyers that understand the nuances from African context and also from, say, the DRC's context, do a proper analysis from an international law perspective around the investment agreements, treaties that are applicable, how you can structure your investment both from a investment protection perspective. So when we talk about investment protection, obviously those are protection against potential, and we're not saying that these things will happen, but expropriation risk, risk around unfair treatment, risk around disputes with the government that you don't necessarily want to resolve within the DRC. So your arbitration clauses around those things. And the other things that you would also want to make sure is, so when we talk about physical and tax stability, so typically negotiate to the extent that those countries' legal framework allow for that, a negotiate stabilization agreements or provisions in your agreement around the physical or tax stabilization in respect of your investment, regulatory stabilization provisions around regulatory changes over a period of time. So fundamentally, what it boils down to is understanding the risk profile of the particular jurisdiction, the asset that you're going to invest in, and then ensuring that you do a proper analysis and assessment of that jurisdiction and speak to experts that understand the particular jurisdiction and also the international and regional legal and jurisdictional framework within these governments operate, and also what you ultimately want to achieve.
I think those are very important points that you've made, Jacquel. And I think it's important for us to bear in mind that as CDH, we understand, having worked in nearly all of the jurisdictions in Africa as a whole, we understand Africa and understand the laws of Africa and have a particular degree of understanding specifically on the nuances that are applicable to us as lawyers. For me sitting in Kenya and for you sitting in South Africa, you might say the same thing on paper and it's quite a different thing in reality. So that is a very important point. Any closing thoughts, Jacquel?
Closing thoughts in respect of the mining endeavor. I think what is important is that we don't just have another mining endeavor where it's just a talk shop. I think a lot of these things that are being discussed should go further than just the discussion. So when we talk about the Africa Green Mineral Strategy and the specific objectives in making sure that we achieve a mineral-based industrialization through the just energy transition is actually achieved, so that we can ensure that African people on the continent ultimately benefits from the minerals, whether it's in the form of the minerals in the ground or from other natural resources in the form of the sun and the wind that we have, that we ultimately produce, whether it's producing the minerals that are refined, manufacturing products that are also produced on the continent, and whatever is exported. I think we need to stop having talk shops and make sure that these things become a reality.
I think that's true. And we wait to see what realities come true during the mining endeavor. So thank you very much for your time, Jacquel. This has been CTH Conversations. See you next time.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.